Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and there is our first glitch. No intro. So I'm going to play one. Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Now, this is a live broadcast designed to inspire and encourage and empower you forward into your breakthrough. I'm so happy that you're able to join me, Dr. Beverly, and the broadcast will air each week, weekly, on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m., along with my distinguished guests that will share wisdom and stories, and not just that, great faith. So if you're ready, we're going to go ahead and get started right now with Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Okay. Hello, everyone. So glad to have you on this evening. This is Dr. Beverly L. Swanson, and as you heard or may not have heard, that the broadcast this evening is the very first show launched for Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. It is such a delight for this show to air, this special show this evening, just for us ladies, that was placed on my heart to do. Because this is the year, as you know, because we've discussed it many times on Coffee, Wisdom, and Prayer, this is the year of the extraordinary, the year of the double portion. We are believing and excited for all that the Lord has placed in our hearts, right? Every vision, every dream, every realized prayer shall come to pass because we have been positioning ourselves to do just that. I'm so excited about this show because as all of you have been seeing, this is a very special broadcast. We have three panelists. Now, I know you were expecting four, but unfortunately, Michael Diamond will not be on with us this evening. He had an emergency, so we're just going to hold him and his family up in prayer and know that by faith, all is well. But we still have our distinguished guest here on the line, and I'll go over that in just a moment. But let me remind you of the title of the show, and that is this. It's what single Christian men are seeking or looking for in a woman or in a wife today. We want to know, right? We want to know. So the best way to find out the truth is by scanning through and finding not just Christian men. No, ladies, I have been blessed to be able to interview and find for you men that not only love the Lord, they talk the talk and they walk the walk. They live their lives according to those biblical principles and protocols and standards. So they are truly going to be a blessing to you and to me because I'm right with you, seeking, not waiting for that king to be presented to me. I want to go over a couple of things, though, because many of you have sent questions in, and I see the studio is truly packed. And just in case, some of you will attempt to chat your questions through. And if you do, you better pray for Dr. Beverly because that means I'll have to be able to retrieve them. But I want you to understand something. The gentleman that will be speaking to you, ladies, this show is not a show for an opportunity to blast men, nor is it a show for women that are dealing with some bondage and some baggage of past hurts or pain. This is not what this show is about. This show is for women that have truly become brides of Christ. They understand love. We appreciate love. Because when you're a bride of Christ, you know pure love. You are also comfortable with being submissive. Because if you're a bride of Christ, you are definitely submissive to Jesus Christ. So this show is for women that are ready. Ready by biblical standards. They have been Esther's. We have gone through the process and we've been prepared. And we expect the best, because the best is always the gift from our Father, right? Well, not only do we expect the best, we have a desire to give them our best. So that is what this show is about. So I want to make sure that you're on the right call and you have the right expectation. Before I give you their names and tell you a little bit about them, I want you to know that each of them are over, they've been single over 5 years. I've already said that they love the Lord. And they're also not ashamed to let any and everyone know that they love the Lord. And they live a life of prayer. Okay, are you ready? All right, well, let me start to introduce our three panelists that are on the air for you. First, let's see, we are going to introduce to you Mr. Michael Cook. Let me read a little bit about him, okay? Michael says that he is a native. He was born and raised in Sacramento. Now, I have to tell you, Michael, you're the first that I've met that was actually born and raised here in Sacramento, California. But he is a true native of this city, ladies, the capital of California. He has worked in sales and marketing for home improvement, and not just that, he helped develop over 20 years ago that company that he is still helping to this very day. Now, 20 years is a lot of experience. Now, he is also a professional speaker specializing in sales training and development. He is an attendee of Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, but not just that, lady. He is also Calvary Christian Center's pastor's, let me get that right, hold on, Michael. He is the newly appointed singles pastor over the singles ministry at Calvary Christian Center. He does indeed hold a high standard of holiness, and he does indeed love the Lord, and he has much to share to you this evening and for you this evening. So please, ladies, I want you to welcome Michael Cook. Michael, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, so glad to have you. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Okay. Good. And you can hear me loud and clear, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Good, because we don't want the ladies to miss out on anything that you have to say.
Okay.
Now, let me go to our next panelist and introduce him. Okay, here we go. Our next panelist, his name is Vincent Kenneth Lackey. Now, Vincent is, my goodness, his bio is so huge. I'm trying to see which part I'll be on for 5 minutes, ladies. He is an international and motivational speaker. He's a life coach. He's an author of several books, including The Book of Life, the very famous, a master chef. He is a traveler on his speaking ordeals. He has much to share with you. He is well known in his field. He is a romantic, and he loves the Lord. And he is on the line with us right now. Vincent, are you there?
Blessings, Dr. Beverly. How are you doing?
I am well. Thank you so much for asking.
Great.
I'm so excited to have all of you on. And it sounds like you can hear me loud and clear. Is that correct?
Yes, very clear.
Okay, good. Okay, ladies, we have one more to introduce to you. Last but not least, we have Mr. Tony Hall. Tony is an international traveler. He travels on a cruise line, an entertainment rigging specialist. It sounds very complicated. He has 20 years experience, ladies, in the entertainment business. He mentioned that he's been involved in 11 motion picture films and 7 major Broadway shows. He loves operas and symphonies, concerts, theaters, and he is currently assistant executive producer for Philip Goodoe Ministries. Ladies, these are our profound and distinguished panelists here with us this evening, ready and willing to share with you what's in their heart or what they are looking for, single Christian man for a woman and a wife today. Gentlemen, before we get started on the questions, I know they're anxious, but I would really love for the ladies to get a good feel about who you are. And I was hoping that, Michael, if you'll start, can you just tell them a little bit about yourself? Tell them about your story. What's on your heart to share with them? I know you mentioned that you're divorced. Do you have any children? Are you a parent? Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
You mentioned that I was born in Sacramento. I was born and raised in Sacramento. I do not have any biological children. I raised a stepdaughter. I was married for 7 years, been divorced now for about 10 years. I'm in the best place of my life. I have been a member of Calvary Christian Center underneath the tutelage of Dr. Philip Goodoe for almost 25 years now, and I just turned 50 last Sunday, or the Sunday before last. So my life is ministry. It seems to me that the first part of my life was spent using people, taking advantage of people, and trying to get my needs met. And now the last part of my life, I want to make it count to be able to give to people, to help people and pay back what I believe I owe and how much I owe God everything. And so I appreciate my pastor that I've learned under, and now my life basically is really ministry. While I work, you know, I always say that my job is what I'm paid for, but the calling on my life is what I was made for, and I was called to help. So that's what I do. I love, love, love to help people. I dream about making other people's dreams come true.
Wow, it sounds like we have just the right man to be a part of this panelist. Thank you for that. It sounds like you're so unselfish in your thoughts and your serving. But can I ask you what, I'm talking about you now, I'm talking from your heart, from Michael's heart. What do you think, Michael, qualifies you to be a panelist? And represent a single Christian man?
I don't know if I'm qualified. I know that you asked me, and I'm privileged. I do know this. I have a lot of experience, and experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. So I have a lot of experience. I was over the singles before I was married. I was over the singles at Calvary Christian Center for a number of years. So I've dealt with a lot of different issues, a lot of different type of people. And when you're in ministry, you know, you have to be able to handle everything that comes your way. A lot of times it's life and death. You're dealing with suicide and depression and a lot of people that are mentally challenged. So I think I have a good feel for what people need, what people want, and the ability to get it to them. And like you said, being unselfish allows me to give of myself, of my time, my talents, my treasury, to make other people better and to glorify, bring glory to God. So that's it. I just want to make a difference when I leave this world, make sure that I've left a mark on it and made it a better place.
Well, that definitely qualifies you. You've already made a difference, and a mouthful right there. So it sounds like, ladies, that Michael is going to give you a perspective from a servant, from a ministry perspective. And remember, he said he's been divorced, I think he said over 10 years, and
right. He
has experience of being a father, a dad to stepchildren. Okay, so keep that in mind, and we're going to slide on over here to Mr. Tony Hall. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been divorced for 12 years, and I have four beautiful blessings. One is grown, and the other three are teenagers, and they're all doing well. I've been under the tutelage, just as Michael has, under Dr. Godot, and I just wish before I even got married that I had the knowledge that I have now before I got married to get married. So there's so much that we miss, so much that we don't know that is so helpful, that isn't taught, that isn't just common knowledge. So and the biblical principles behind it that support it is just amazing, and it actually works. Why do I know that? Because I see it work not only in his life, but I see it work in others that have been members of the church for many, many years. And, you know, we have couples that have been married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, that are members there to see that it works.
It does work. I believe it does work when you truly live your life according to those principles and protocols of the kingdom. And I do agree that you're right, that we need to learn those ways that do please the Lord. We need to learn exactly what the expectations are. And it is a remarkable experience to be in a church where the man and woman of God do not just teach those principles and the values and the protocols, but they live them themselves so that we get an opportunity to see that example. So I am in agreement with that. And is that what you feel, Tony, that qualifies you to be able to be on a panel that sharing women? Well, the show is not just nationwide. It's aired internationally as well. To share with them what a single Christian man is looking for?
Well, not exactly sure if I'm qualified. However, I do have a little bit of experience since my divorce with regards to the needs of myself as well as learning of the needs of a woman, and a Christian woman at that. You know, and not to mention that, you know, you invited me, so I was greatly appreciative that you would even think of me to be a part of the panel. So, you know, that just speaks for itself. Obviously, you've seen something in my walk over the years that would lead you to ask me to be on the panel for tonight's discussion. So that's where I am with it. And, you know, all I can say is just thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and thank God for blessing the show.
Oh, my. Thank you so much for saying that. And, yes, I have watched you over to the years, and it's truly impressive, your commitment, your demeanor. Simply the way that you carry yourself is notable, and it is notable, and I believe that you have a lot to offer the ladies. And, you know, my gosh, ladies, these are such guys. You know, they're such a guy. When they say qualify, like, oh, my gosh, I have to pass a test or final. No, it's from the heart. I'm just hoping that as we move forward that you'll all share from your heart. It's not about how much you know in the word. That's not why I have you on. I have you on as I talk to each of you because I truly believe that you have a heart of love and you have a heart for our Father, our Creator, the great I Am, the Sovereign God. And if you love him, then you'll love his daughter. And the time that you have spent being single, I'm sure it's a time of preparation as well from the perspective from a male. So I asked you all to be on because of your heart, because of what I know that you can share from your experiences, from your challenges, and where you are right now because of them. So with that, there is one more. And Vincent, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Well, since then, would you please take a few moments and tell us a little bit about you? And again, I want to ask, what is it that you felt? I hate to use the word qualify again because my guys are such guys. What you thought that you it would be an asset for you to be here this evening to share with the ladies, women, what a single Christian man is looking for in a woman and a wife today. Will you tell us a little about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'm born and raised in San Francisco and grew up with a family of seven. My father passed away when I was five, so mom poured into us. And as I finished high school and was on my way to college, I was able to move out at 16 years old to Pacifica. So Pacifica was the foundation of me becoming a romanticist, the fog, the fireplace, the candlelight. So that helped develop me. When I was 19 years old, the Lord called me to the ministry. I was in Los Angeles, and it was just, he was speaking to my heart. And I went to a Catholic church in the afternoon after work, doing my lunch break, and I asked the Lord if he was real, come in my life, and he did at 19, and I never looked back. I began a walk of celibacy and gave the majority of the 20s to the Lord in celibacy. And I guess I was in my early 30s when I was at a friend's house, and he asked me to come up. It was eight people there, and all I saw was one person. I didn't even ask her name. I just said, will you be my wife? And 30 days later, we were married, and we had the perfect marriage. And that's where the book title came from. It's a beautiful 20 years of marriage and loving and commitment and loyalty and faithfulness according to the word of God. Love that wife as Jesus loved the church. And so I did that and more. And all I got back was more love. Love begets love. And it was this unbelievable, passionate love affair. And, you know, we had a son named Jordan that was born, and he died in our arms. And, you know, a few minutes after he was born, and we bathed him and clothed him and slept with him all night and loved on him. And a few months later, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I fought for her life with all I had. I fasted as much as I can fast, 40 days, and drinking water, and almost went blind. And so, you know, she passed away in my arms, and, you know, I've been living a celibate life since she's passed, and that's been 7 years. So I've my love for the Lord has even gotten deeper and more passionate. I didn't think it was possible. I've been on fire for the Lord at 19. I'm 56 now, and I'm on fire even more. The Lord has called me at 19 to help break the man-made barriers of separation of belief, and I've been putting prayer days on at Ocean Beach since 1987. I've been ministering all over the world. I was road manager for Edwin Hawkins, and I built Bishop Hawkins Church. I built churches for 10 years. I was, so many things. But God has just filled me with more of the Holy Spirit when I had that hole in my heart after losing my wife. And so I just became on fire, went to Arizona and started ministering to Native Americans, and it's just been a glorious journey. I love the Lord. I tell you, I'm a true believer. I will not compromise. I was a bodyguard for a young prince. He's a king now in a place called Abu Dhabi, and he offered me $4 million to become a Muslim. I quoted his Quran to him. I said, on page 697, thou should not become a Muslim for power, greed, or wealth. I will not compromise my faith. I love the Lord.
I'm speechless. My God. I am so humbled by each and every one of you being here as a panelist on this broadcast this evening. I am so humbled. Whenever I put a show together, I always go into prayer first to find out what it is that the Lord wants me to bring out, to have an opportunity for people to acquire the wisdom that they need, the insight, the guidance that is needed for them to move forward. And this is a year, gentlemen, that many are believing in their mates, they're believing in marriage, they're starting their lives over. And this is a very important broadcast. And each and every one of you, the qualities are just absolutely amazing, and I'm humbled that you have said yes. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get started with some of the questions, okay?
Okay.
We're going to start out with the biggie. And that is because there are quite a few questions that came to me in regard to celibacy. And how important, gentlemen, is celibacy to you in a woman today that you're considering as your wife? And how important, this is a twofold question, okay? How important is it, do you feel, that you also, as the men and looking for, ready for their wife, how important is it that you feel celibacy is for you? And please, anyone can answer, and I'm hoping that you all will share your input on the question. So we're talking about celibacy, not just on the side of the female and how important it is, but how important is, do we feel, that men today should remain celibate until they meet their wife?
I'd like to start with that one.
And who am I talking to?
Sorry, this is Tony. I'd like to start with that one. It is very important. Just learning recently the importance of it. And, yeah, we all know, and we all know what the word says about it. But more importantly, when you're getting ready to pursue a woman and you're getting ready to even think about the word marriage, everything comes into play. You know, you don't want to make the same mistake that you made the last time. You don't want to go through what you did the last time. And so what is it that you need to do in order to get to the next step? Yes, celibacy is very important, so that when you say I do, after you've gone through a courtship of courting a woman for a year or 2 years or however many years you wish to agree to do that before you get married, it allows you to get to know the person. It allows you to know what that person is all about, and knowing it's not about just sex. Because we can get sex, I mean, just being frank, you can get sex anywhere. But if you're pursuing a woman and that is a woman that you are desiring to marry, then you want to try as best you can to remain celibate and pursue her the right way, so that when you say I do and you give that woman that kiss and it's time for celibacy to be celebrated in a sense with a woman, then it's nothing but fireworks, and it should be fireworks for the rest of your life.
Amen. Okay, now that was a twofold question. How important is it that you believe that is just as important for a man to remain celibate until he is joined with his wife?
Go ahead, Vincent. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Vincent Lackey. I think that because I'm walking this walk, if I met a woman tomorrow that wasn't, and that, like, see, where I'm at today is I pray over everything. I want to be led and directed by God because I want to be in His perfect will. So just because I'm attracted to you, I'm not going to embark on a relationship unless my Father is leading me. So celibacy is great. It's fantastic, especially if God takes you in that direction. We all should be walking that, because if you try to walk, embrace a relationship where you're not consecrated, where you're not, set apart, and your body is not set apart for the Lord, then when you get together, that's the reason marriage is a failing, because it's a curse when you are intimate before that covenant comes into place. The reason I'm probably a little bit more open toward the celibacy toward a woman, if she wasn't, and that if she's going to be my wife, is because I would come into the relationship and say, well, first of all, we have to consecrate yourself. We have to line up according to the Word of God. We have to begin to bring ourselves to the level of understanding our walk together. That's why I wrote the book, The Perfect Marriage, because we think that equally yoked means that, well, we both believe in the Lord, we both go to the same church, and we go to church, and we give our tithes and offering, that's it. I think that, in my case, I believe that if you want to become me and I want to become you, and I examine your feelings and emotions before you do, I'm really into that. That is what made my relationship. I know a lot of people don't like to use that word perfect, but I'm here to tell you that I'm perfect in Christ according to the Word of God. And therefore, my relationship was perfect in Christ because we lined ourselves up with the will of God. We had no arguments, no fight. It was just a beautiful, perfect relationship. And so I just think that for me, I don't have a choice of celibacy because, you know, I've been called and my life has just been so rich. I wouldn't change one tiny tittle of my baby dying or my wife dying in my arms because God is perfect in everything He's doing. But as far as a woman, if I would love for her to be celibate, but if she wasn't, I believe in God. We all been purified by the blood, so let's consecrate, let's pray, let's fast, let's cleanse, and let's come together at the altar purified in God's blood and God's holiness and grace, because, at the bottom line is that are we meant to be together, and are you willing to follow the guidelines of the Word of God so we can line up for ministry and for life to be happy and be a blessed union. I just think it's a beautiful thing to be celibate because you get so close to the Lord. And I do 10 things a day from my reading the Word and praying and affirmations and everything else that I do constantly throughout the day, that there's no room for the adversary to step in. And so I would love that. Have a woman image of myself because I'm just on fire, man. I'm just so in love with the Lord, man. I can barely talk about Him without crying. It's just a beautiful place to be. But bless God.
I understand that. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Both of your viewpoints on that were so powerful. And the other thing that I picked up was, Vincent, when you said, it's not just a celibacy to come together in a union of purity, but understanding that celibacy brings you so closer to purification of our bodies. You know, present it to Him. That it's such a space and place in Him that when you have that, it's just in the word. So that's another way to look at it too, ladies. And Michael, I'd love to hear your viewpoint on it as well. And the reason, one of the reasons why, gentlemen, this is such an important question to women is that most that I have spoken to in travels and, you know, getting their opinions, conversations, many of them, most of us in the second half of our lives are celibate. And, you know, it's a choice that we made to be that way. And it's a good feeling to know that it is valued. And it is a really good feeling to hear that it's just as valuable to the men on their behalf as it is for us. Michael, can you also share with us your views on that subject, celibacy? I'm sorry, excuse me. Celibacy on the part of both women and men.
We live in a sex craze, a sex-starved society, and it takes a lot of guts for a man or a woman, but especially men, because I think that, you know, because of the men's visual stimulancy, there's not a lot of Christian men that will stand up for celibacy. So I'm impressed with Tony and Vincent. But I was a celibate for 10-plus years before I got married, and since I've been divorced, I've been celibate. And I always say I've been celibate by choice. It's not because I couldn't find somebody to sleep with, because if you're ugly, it's not hard to be celibate, you know. That was a joke. So, but, you know, there's a lot of men who love God. Thank you for laughing. Thank you. There's a lot of men who love God, and they're Christians, but they have never made a decision to become celibate. And so, you know, I don't see a lot of it out there. And I can remember posting on Facebook that I was proud to be a celibate man, and there were so many people who made comments and thought that that was just so unusual, and you just don't hear it very much anymore. But it should be the standard. So I think it should be the standard for somebody who does love God and is single. And for me, as far as a woman being celibate, I am so picky. I never, throughout my whole life, paid for a prostitute. I never wanted to be with a woman who had been with a lot of men. To me, it was a turnoff. As a matter of fact, when I was married, I didn't even want to kiss my wife unless she had brushed her teeth. And so I know that's a little bit maybe over picky, but I don't like someone. It's not attractive to me for somebody who's just given themselves over to a lot of people. So it is huge, huge, huge for me that the woman has kept herself, and it shows that she has control and is honoring the Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your viewpoints on that, gentlemen, all three of you, because that's what women want to know. We want to know what's on your heart personally, and each and every one of you have a different walk. Your personalities are different, yet you know what? Your walk is very similar. You all love the Lord, and you all follow the principles of His kingdom. So women want to know exactly what each and every one of you are feeling on the subject, because you're relating to women of different personalities, different ages, and different walks of life. It's an interesting subject, and I thank you so much for being honest with me with your answers and honest with them. Are you ready for the next question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say it's quiet. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm listening. I got my phone, my microphone on mute, but I am listening. But, yeah, it's good. I am ready for the next question.
Okay, Tony. Okay, so the next question is, what type of attraction is most important to you, gentlemen? Physical attraction or the heart of a woman? And please be honest, it's okay. Physical attraction or the heart of a woman?
All right, don't all go at the same time, guys.
Okay, you're the first one that spoke, so you're elected.
Yep, I got it. All right, this is Tony. Yeah, it is attraction, but after I call it my
my 5 to 10 minute interview, and you kind of get the gist of what the person is all about. But I tell you, to be honest with you, I'll just share a brief experience here. I have really, really close friends, one of my best friends, and they happen to have a mentoring and a best friend that lived out of state who is now living here in California. And we had opportunity to meet last year. And so very, very, very attractive young lady. And, you know, I was kind of drawn to that. And so, you know, over the course of the year, what have you, off and on, you know, would see her at gatherings or whatnot that we would have on occasion. And one day, just out of the blue, called to see how she was doing because we had exchanged numbers. And talking and starting to feel her out and more talking. And I'm telling you, yes, I am attracted to what I see on the outside, but the more conversation that I'm having with her and her love for God and her love to do the right thing and her needs, expressing what her needs are, and I'm not even talking about sexual needs. We're talking about real, real needs outside of that. Just really attracts me on the inside of her, on the inside of me. And it's just mind-stimulating because the conversations that we have on many different levels, you know, regarding relationships, it could be regarding world events, national, local, current events, whatever. It is very, very stimulating. And that's what I look for, is mind stimulation. Like I said earlier, you know, we can get sex anywhere. But that's not what it's about. Looking for a partner, looking for someone to marry, a woman to marry, that's what it is. You want someone that can set your mind for the rest of your life, keep the conversation, stay on the same page, grow together with the love of God in the forefront of all of that so that it will be very successful. That's where I am with it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone else?
Go ahead, Vincent.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I loved your answer, Tony. I think that for me at this time and being married for 20 precious years, I think that I'm attracted to the athletic type of woman because I train for the Olympics and I like to you know, take care of the temple. But where I'm at now is that I'm looking for someone that's absolutely sold out and wants to be my partner in the ministry of loving Christ and so and feeding those souls. I have made a commitment for $10 million to come into the kingdom under my ministry before I check out of here. So I want somebody that's sold out like I am. I'm tunnel vision. I'm focused. When I did the Olympics, I was focused 8 hours a day training, 6 days a week. You know, when I built my house, I was focused and determined to build it. I'm that kind of guy. So I want someone that is just as passionate about life and just love the Lord with all their heart. All the other stuff, you know, as long as you are a sold out believer, all the other stuff we can work on. And, you know, yeah, you know, you want someone to want to take care of the temple because I wrote in my book, I said that her body belongs to me and my body belongs to her, so I don't want to give her a used up item that's all battered and been used and having sex with everybody that walks the street. No. So that is the whole reason that we take care of these temples. They're sacred. Love, marriage is a sacred act. It's instituted by God. It's not by man, so we have to embrace it in such. You know, it's not something that we just use and throw away. So I'm really passionate about that. And so, you know, I know that after the 7 years that just passed, of February 9th being 7 years for me, I'm ready to embark on a love affair and hold hands again and look in someone's eyes and be in love. I understand true love. I've been there. I experienced it. I know it. I know it. So I'm not going to start loving on a level one. I'm going to start loving on the 27. That's where I left off at. So I'm going to love this new wife greater than my previous wife, even though, because love never dies. You know, you're going to increase your love affair. God's going to take me to another level of romance and love, and I'm ready. So, you know, I'm just energized about life. I mean, I'm ready to live for the Lord, but I'm also ready to die for him right this second as we're talking. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I'm sold out. I'm just a sold out believer.
Well, it definitely makes sense to each and every one of us on this line because we are truly sold out believers for Christ. He is the only one that we bear our allegiance to. And this is why this conversation is so intriguing to me. You know, Tony, you mentioned, you know, you're grateful for being on. I am so humbled and grateful to have each and every one of you on because we are truly getting valued information from men that love the Lord. And that does bring us to Michael, who's not getting out of that question. So, Michael, tell me.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get out of it, but I understand that the heart is the most important thing. We're marrying the contents. We're not marrying the package. So if the heart's not good, you know, if the product that's inside is not good, you're not going to keep coming back just because it looks good on the outside. But I would also, just as I said before, I'm very picky, and sometimes I don't know if it's wise or not, but I do believe that when it's right, it will be visually stimulating, and her heart and her spirit will be right. So, and then I'm not going to settle for anything else. So it is important for both for me, and I believe that I deserve the best, and it's out there. So otherwise, I'm good. I'm just going to go solo until I get the whole package. That's it.
Okay. He's going to go solo, lady, until he gets the full package, and that's it. You know, I have to tell you, I'll give you a little tidbit. You know, one thing about women, and again, you know, as we chat and I, you know, get information, you know, they say, Dr. Bev, make sure you ask this, Dr. Bev, ask that. Like, I would remember everything, I tell you. But one of the, one thing about a woman, you know, we certainly, you know, when we look at appearances, yeah, that turns our head and our eyes in the direction, yes. But, you know, I have to tell you, it's quickly overshadowed by the heart. You know, to a woman, when their heart is right, that is so attractive to us. You know,
right.
Love is attractive. Real trueness of the heart of someone and a good person, a good man, and how he loves the Lord, how he cares about other people, my gosh, that is very attractive. And it makes everything about him attractive, you know. So
okay.
I just wanted to share that with you. And the other thing, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that were said here. Okay. This 5 to 10 minute interview thing. Okay. All right. What is that? Okay, come on. We want to know. What is this 5 to 10 minute interview thing when you feel her out? Oh, come on. Cough it up, guys.
Okay.
That was Tony.
That's 5 minutes.
Yeah, really. A lot of it has to do personality check, you know, because you have a sense of humor, you know. What's her feeling about men? What's the feeling more so about her father? What's the feeling about the men that have been in her life? Has she been married? Has she been divorced? Without really asking those questions. And for me, it's I'm like Michael. I might be more picky than Michael. We haven't had this conversation yet. But, I mean, I am just picky as can be, you know, everything from, you know, smoking and hygiene and feet and the whole nine yards. It's
feet. Yes.
Yes, indeed, the feet.
Oh, my God, their feet.
No,
did you hear that, ladies?
Yeah, no Cheetos.
No boomerang, right.
Exactly. So, in any event, you know, taking all that in consideration, you know, all that can happen in 5 to 10 minutes of conversation. And you'll know also to be, to add to this, for me, I have a very high spirit of discernment just because of a real bad marriage, a real bad divorce I went through. And coming out of that with spiritual and professional counseling that helped balance me to bring out, you know, my issues and to identify what I went through, my challenges and my mistakes, and admitting them and forgiving myself so I can move on, and then understanding, sitting on a word, understanding what it is about a woman, how she operates, what her needs are, and what my needs are, and how she is really the giver and how we are the receiver, but at the same time we also are the giver, but she is more the giver than we are. She is made to give. So, you know, it's just awesome how the dynamics occur, you know, abroad, internationally. I'll just put it that way. But, yeah, there you go. I know I added a little more sauce to it in answering the original question, but there you go.
Sauce is okay. So, Vincent, do you do this, the 10-minute interview feeler out thing?
For me, it's a little longer because my book I wrote is 1,200 pages. So the first chapter is 100 pages long. It's called 300 Questions in 30 Days to Know Your Beloved. So I believe in asking 10 questions a day. But I tell you, it works. You know, if you ask all these detailed questions that I did with my wife, and we were praying, and we just had a beautiful thing where we confessed all our sins to one another. So everything was on the table. We had nothing to hide, and you know everything. You know, you can be with someone, and you can hope. You know, I just don't believe that if you're going to embark on this sacred relationship of love, that you have to hide anything, and I think it should be all on the table and clear, because you can think somebody's been celibate or they only been with 10 guys or 5 guys or even 1, and then find out it's been 300. The bottom line is that you have to fall in love with Christ, and you have to have that. You have to have that spirit of anointing to be able to discern that spirit, and if someone's being honest with you and forthright. But if for me, it's going to take a little longer than 5 to 10 minutes. I think it's great just to check out personalities and ask questions about dads and moms and what have you. But I need a little bit of time. I would say, 30 days is, I can know if this is going to be my wife or not. Yeah. I mean, with my wife, it was different. I walked in the room and fell in love with her, so I was looking at a sight. But later, it just was God-given because I prayed for her, and it was just meant to be. And, you know, we just use the scripture, whatsoever that you bind on earth is bind in heaven. So I use that scripture, and I marry her. And look here, God was all in it. He said, you find a wife, you find a good thing, and the favor of God. So he definitely gave me his favor, and it was just a blessing to go that route. So to answer your question, yeah, 5 minutes might be nice to, you know, say hello and hi and, you know, pick up some information, but 30 days would work for me. 30 days. Give me 30 days. I can find out if it's a done deal or not.
Okay. So, ladies, we now know there is a 5-minute interview fill her out thing. It sounds like somebody has me on speaker and we're echoing. So you may have speaker, gentlemen. And what about Michael? Michael, do you do that interview thing?
No, but I believe that it's every person. There's what's called slicing. When a person comes into your life, you're definitely evaluating them, and you know that if you're physically attracted to them, and then as the conversation goes forth, you can tell kind of where they're at as far as the heart and their mind, and so I don't do like an interview or anything like that, and I don't know if I can say 30 days. I don't know. All I can say is that when I know, I'll know. That's it for me.
Okay. All righty. Next question. Ready? Okay.
Yes.
What method or type of approach will you use to let the woman know that you're interested in her? How are we supposed to, there is an interest in us these days?
Go ahead, Tony.
I love the way you guys push each other out there. It's like, you. It's okay to take a moment to think. So the question is, what method or what type of approach will you use to let us know that you're interested in us? How will we know?
Yeah, I think
I was just going to say that it's not going to be hard to figure out when a guy is attracted to you. He's going to want to be around you. He's going to want to be where you're at. He's going to want to know what your interests are. I can remember when my wife and I first started getting interested in each other. She said, you know, every time I had a need, Michael, you were right there. She scratched your arm. I was going to find her a Band-Aid, you know. So if I'm attracted to a woman, I'm going to want to be around you, and I'm going to say, you know, can we spend time together, and what are your needs so that I can meet those needs. And I'm not afraid to let somebody know, hey, I'm attracted to you. You know, I'm 50 years old now, so I'm not going to beat around the bush and play these games and, you know, send you a note. And I'll let you know on Facebook. I'll compliment you. I will never be afraid to say I'm very attracted to you. That's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Because actually, just as part of our question, will they be straightforward with the approach with confidence, or will she have to guess? And she asked for an example. So, okay. All right. That was good.
Yes, this is Vincent. I think I'm more of the direct approach, and I think I would let her know directly that, especially at this time in my life, thank you, in this time of my life, I'm going to be a little bit more direct. So I think I would let her know that I'm interested in let's go down this route and this journey to see if we're compatible to make the final steps of marriage. So because, I think it's important that you just be upfront instead of just hanging out and then 6 months down the line, 3 months down the line, someone gets hurt or find out that they wasn't the one because they're spending time with you and you're sharing some intimate thoughts, but you never had the plans or the idea to go all the way.
Wow. Okay. Good. Good. And what about you, Tony? Tony, are you there? Take me off mute.
Tony got nervous. He must be. He must have got nervous.
Bless his
heart. Maybe we can go to the next question.
I think Tony's fighting with mute. Okay, the next question is, and I think you probably both already touched on this, but I want to be fair to the question, and that is, are you looking at women to date, or do you really have the concept and the idea of marriage in your mind?
Because I'm teaching on, a lot of people don't use the word courtship anymore, and we haven't had our singles ministry going for a while at Calvary Christian Center, but I'm bringing the courtship back to the forefront, and that dating, basically, dating is random, dating is self-serving, dating is frivolous, and it's kind of without aim, and courtship is discovering somebody's character before the commitment. And so I think that instead of using the word dating, I would love to be able to have the word courtship in the forefront of the singles minds of Calvary Christian Center of believers, that we're not just trying each other on and seeing what you know, like a pair of shoes. So for me, it wouldn't be dating for sure. It would be courtship, and the courtship would be with the intention eventually of marriage, if that makes sense. That's my take.
It does make sense. Yeah. It does indeed. Vincent, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with Michael on that. I think that, you know, just to be clear and precise, that you want to make a just so people know your character, so you don't get a reputation of going around just, you know, wasting people's time. But you want to be, you know, I think that, so if you don't make a commitment to this person that you meet, especially if you're in the church and there's a lot of attractive people running around and you don't know who you want to be with, you sort of want to fill it out and you meet someone through a pastor or you get some information through a friend or whatever of their background. But I think that when you do approach a woman or that you have some clarity that you are going to go that route. I really don't think it takes a lot of time in dating, especially when you're 50 years old and over. You know, we all been there, done that. So, I mean, if you're serious and you're committed and, you know, this person has some of the attributes of life that you want and you guys are both sold out, I think it's a done deal. I think we quit playing around with each other and go to the bank and cash the check.
I like that. Go to the bank and cash the check. I like that. And I'm glad to hear that, especially, you know, for those of us that are in the second half of our life. And I see Tony is on. I believe we lost him for a moment, and I see he is back in the studio and on. Tony, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Ah, I can
Hello?
Hear you now. We can hear you loud and clear. And I wanted to get your take. No, we got you back on. I wanted to get your take on the approach for women. You know, the question was, how would she know? Would you be direct in your approach? How would a woman know if you're interested in her? Would you tell her you're interested? Would you be direct about it? And they're asking for an example.
Definitely. I'd let her know that I'm interested. And how would she know I'd be interested? Phone calls, long conversations, talking, you know, as much as possible, trying to see her, trying to take her out on a coffee date, a lunch date, to the movies, something along those lines, just so that, you know, you're starting to spend time with her to get the message across. But, yeah, simply just letting her know that you're interested. And if she's any kind of woman, she would definitely ask you, like, what's going on? You know, are you interested in me? What are your desires? You know, what's up? You know, and you just tell her straight up, what's happening? I'm interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to tell you, in the conversations that I have had these past 2 weeks in preparation for this show, there are quite a few women that are concerned. They're concerned because no one is talking to them, according to, you know, what they're saying. Is no one talking and no one approaching? Am I doing something wrong? Is this a new time, a new season? Are men different? Or are they just not interested in me? Or do they just not see me? You know, so I tell you, you know, when all three of you have said that you're fairly direct and, you know, if you're interested in someone, there's no hesitation there. So, I don't know. Is there, should women be more approachable or should they be in certain places? I mean, help them out. There's quite a few women that are saying that no one's asking me for anything. You know, help them out. How can they be noticed?
I'd like to chime in on that one. This is Tony. In my experience and what I've seen over the years as of recent, in any event, there are a lot of women that are very bold and will approach you before you approach them. And I'm sure as these two gentlemen that are on the panel, they probably would more than agree with me that that's a really a turnoff in their boldness and their approach, because you know, a man is supposed to pursue a woman, is supposed to find a woman, find that good thing, and it's not that she's supposed to pursue you. And it's not to say, you know, that hasn't worked, because I'm sure it has. And I'm sure there are successful marriages around the world behind a woman approaching a man. But, you know, the way we're taught, the way we're raised and things along that line, it's really worked out for me personally in pursuing the woman, because God has basically shown me, has directed me, and has I don't know what to say, qualified it, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the woman that's in my life now is the woman. She is the one. And, you know, going through courtship and getting the counseling and the whole bit is, you know, I know that's who she is because I'm the one that pursued her. Now, what is it that other women are doing or asking the question why they're not being pursued? It may be an attitude. It may be the aura. It may be the company they keep. Who knows? You know, we're just three men out of millions. So I really can't really, you know, answer that pinpoint and say this is the issue, this is the problem. But from my experience, I know that, you know, the boldness of women, that to me is a turnoff. And watching them, you know, and seeing what they're about and their interaction with other people and, you know, the maturity level, and, you know, some people think they're better than others. And I don't know, you have to have a conscience about yourself, you know, enough to know that, am I approachable? Do I have an attitude? And if you do, why do I have an attitude, or why am I not approachable because of this attitude, or whatever the situation, or, you know, ask a close friend. There's a lot of women that have close men friends. Ask them what's wrong. Ask, is there a problem? Is there an issue? Honestly.
Well, actually, I believe that you mentioned some very good points. You said you need to take a look, a self-look at their attitude, the company that they keep, the aura. What aura? What are they giving off? And then is there a boldness? Are you obviously looking at everyone that passes by you, that boldness? Are you approaching them in boldness? Because I do agree that men are hunters. They must hunt. And that is what the pursuit is all about. So those are very good points, Tony. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share or add to that?
Yes, Dr. Bentley. I think that what happens, at least what I have seen in churches that I travel throughout the country and the world, is that I think there's a I think his brother Tony mentioned that there's an aura there. I see little cliques in churches where they have this attitude and where they put on a mindset in the church that, okay, I'm a holy woman of God and I can't be seen talking to a man. Well, I mean, if you can't talk to a brother, you know, at church, how are you going to, you know, interact to find out if it's a possible marriage or a connection? So at least with myself, I try to talk to a few ladies at the church, and I mean, I could not believe man, it's like I had to be the Pope or something to get a number or to talk to somebody. It was like, and my bishop so-and-so's right hand in order to, you know, to talk to you. So it's like this energy or this persona that comes across from the women in church. And I don't know if it's a religious spirit. Or I don't know. I mean, but, you know, I know that I'm open, honest, direct, forthright, and I want to meet someone and get married. So I don't have time for games. I don't know what energy of projecting. So next thing you know, I might be visiting the church, and I'm in that area for 2 months, and I see someone that I wanted to pursue. I'm trying to talk to them, and it's like this whole energy is blocking. It's like a force field. So, and then they go off and say, well, I'm looking, I don't know what you're looking for. You know, I'm here, I'm talking to you, you know, I'm ready, I'm available, but it's just, at least that's been my experience. Now, as far as what I've seen in ministry and different churches around the country and the world I've been, is that I think men have to change their mindset. I think men are in that mindset of being the hunter for women, and what's in the church is what used to be in the world, where I can meet this girl, yeah, we both believe in God, let's get together, let's have a little fun. So it's not that committed attitude from the men that are looking or saying they're looking for wives, because they're not. And so I think that women have been damaged in the sense of these predators that are not really sold out to their walk with God. And this beautiful rose has been stunted in its growth, so you got a half bud rose that never blossomed. And so you got a lot of women that are hurt. And try not to be approachable. You look at somebody and you might think I'm a wolf. I might have a certain image or a look, but you don't even know my heart is so pure and loving and tender, and I never left my wife's bedside and took care of her. I'm a loving man, but you're looking at me and think I'm a predator because you just finished with Bev Joe over here. And so I don't know. I just think that the energy level has to change, and people have to perceive and know who truly the woman of God is when you see one, that she is the image of the Holy Spirit, and men need to take on their calling as the image of Christ and really step up their walk, that we can be honest and forthright with one another, because I don't see it in the church. That's just my opinion.
Those are two powerful answers, and I want to thank you both for that. You've given a lot to think about. I must move to this next question because this young woman asked that I please ask this question, and that is, for those of you that are 50 and over, which is all of you, is having children or a woman in childbearing age important to you?
I'll chime in on that one. This is Tony. And for the record, I'm not 50 years old. I'm the youngest one of the group here. I am in my mid-40s. Thank you. I appreciate it.
The record is cleared. I guess it's Michael that.
My elders.
Okay, I've got it.
Respect to my elders.
thank you.
One love. Okay.
So is having children or a woman in childbearing age important to you?
For me, no. I could go either way. It doesn't matter, one way or the other. She could already have children. I'm fine with it. She cannot have children. I'm fine with it. That's me. Michael?
What about you, Michael?
It's not important either way for me. I feel like I have several thousand children. Because I've got so many in ministry, I'm just constantly taking care of people and meeting needs. So for most of my life, I never really, really wanted to have children. I loved being able to raise my daughter that I did raise, even though she's my stepdaughter. I call her my daughter. It was awesome. And I learned a lot, and I know I was a good father. But every once in a while, I'll get an inkling and say, man, I'd like to have children. But for the most part, my heart is for ministry, and I think that children would be a blocker for that, or kind of something that would kind of slow it down. So if it was to happen, it could happen, but it's not a big deal or a deal breaker for me.
Vincent, your thought?
Yes. It doesn't matter with me as well. I'm like the other brothers. It could go either way. I've been blessed when my son passed, and in my 30s, I was tired of being celibate, and my mother had just died before the Olympics, and I lost the Olympics, and a couple of the tragic things happened. So I said, man, I'm tired of being celibate, and I broke my celibacy, and I felt all depressed. But breaking my celibacy brought me a beautiful son, and I had not seen this son in 22 years. And a friend came to my restaurant and said, hey, let me give you a Facebook account. He gave me a Facebook account, and this beautiful son of mine contacted me. And I have this wonderful, blessed relationship. He's 25 now, and he's beautiful.
Wow.
And he's gorgeous. And I'm just so blessed. So, yeah, I'm fulfilled. I'm fulfilled with this beautiful child, this beautiful young man that loves me, and we wrestle. I kiss him all the time, and man, I can't even tell you how blessed I am. So, yeah, if I had a wife and she wanted children and she was able to birth children, fine. If not, I'm set for life. I'm good.
Wow, I'm speechless. Because gentlemen, this is a real big question to women today. That here we are. We're in the second half of our lives. We're in our 40s or 50s or whatever, or 60s, and what if these men want children, and we can't have any more? Does that make us less desirable? This is a huge question,
no.
And you have given many, many women an opportunity to exhale to know that that's not the case. Thank you for that. Ready
Thank
for the
you,
next
Dr.
one?
Yes.
Oh, now they really are coming up. Yes, we're warming up. Okay. As you move forward now, it really does sound like the three of you are ready in your lives again with a wife, a new marriage, a new covenant, a new beginning. I have to ask you, are you looking for a woman that was similar to your wife? Are you open to someone new, completely different? Have you expanded your mindset? Or do you find yourself migrating to women that are very similar to your wives or your past wives, your ex-wives, in appearance and personalities?
Yes, the young buck will go for this one.
I love it.
Definitely, total opposite of my ex-wife. Absolutely, positively. No similar traits whatsoever. No. Travel down that road once, would never do that again twice. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm just keeping it real.
You feel it.
Seriously.
Are you done, Tony?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I'm kind of the opposite. I walked out on what I think probably should still then, we should probably still be married. I walked out on it when some things went wrong, and I do wish that I hadn't have done that. There's a book out that's called It Took Divorce to Save My Marriage.
Mm.
And I think under the right circumstances, if she was open, which she doesn't seem to be, I would be back with my wife, and I think that would be God's will, that I would be with her for the rest of my life. If that doesn't happen, I could honestly say I'm not looking for a woman. I really am not. I'm completely fulfilled. I have some things and some goals and some visions and dreams that I'm working on that, and I honestly feel like a relationship might slow that down. So unless I get interrupted and just get hit upside the head with the ideal package, and I'm not trying to say, yes, I am picky, but I'm not going to settle for anything else. So I just might end up being single for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with that. That's my take.
That's right, Michael. Don't settle. Do not settle.
Wow. I love you for that answer, Michael. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I
like that because, you know, I told a pastor friend of mine who's my partner in ministry and in business, and he said, "Man, you're a passionate guy. You wrote a book on romance, and you know, I can't see you being celibate." I said, "Listen. I was at a men's conference, and I was speaking to a lot of men, and I was telling them about how God took me to the next level of that we need to step up our walk in righteousness, and that even walking in celibacy, the Lord told me to take it to the next level where no self-pleasure." And so the brother starts swallowing, and the saliva and choking. So,
you might want to expound on that one, Vincent.
I was telling them that you can't masturbate. It's, you can't go that route. And so they didn't, they said, "Who's this brother? Is he whacked out?" But the bottom line is that God wants us to take us to that higher level of walk of holiness. So when I heard Brother Michael talking about I'm good, let me tell you something. I told my pastor friend that, you know, I want a wife. I want to love again. I want to have that romance that I had with Kimberly. It was unbelievable. I mean, we took walks at the ocean beach in the rain and set up a table and had dinner in the storming rain and with rain suits on. And, I mean, just beautiful stuff, man. It's all throughout my book. But it's just a beautiful, romantic book, and it teaches you how to love again. When I talk to all the big pastors that I know, bishops in these large churches, the wives say what's missing is romance. And so in the perfect marriage workbook, Eat, Drink, and Be Merry, it's just rich. I promise you, it's a powerful book. So for me, I'm looking for traits similar to my wife because she kissed my hand every day to honor me. I told her a story about my Muslim friends. I was in the Middle East and ministering to them and loving them and praying with 150,000 Muslims every day, five times a day. But they didn't know I was sold out to Jesus. I was just, a spy. But the beautiful thing about that is that one day my Muslim brother said, "Hey, we got to rush home. We got to go home." And he went home and he stood in front of the door and the children came in and kissed his hand. And his wife came in to kiss his hand to honor him for taking care of them so well. So I told the story to my wife, and she began to kiss my hand every day because I cooked every meal for 20 years, and I bought her clothes and her underwear and called them sweet nothings. And I loved her as Jesus loved the church. And believe me when I tell you that the love that she gave back was priceless. It's unmentionable, and it has very little to do with sex. It's a beautiful thing to take the depths of love to that level. So, yeah, when you ask the question, am I looking for some of the same attributes? Absolutely, yes, because, true love. I'm looking for true love. People say love, I love you, but true love is a whole other level, and you can only get the stamp of approval from God himself. So I thank God for that experience.
It's interesting. I have three different men with three different opinions about that, and I'm glad to hear that because, again, you're touching the ears of women all over, and each and every one of their personalities are being met or touched or tickled by your answers, and I'm very grateful for the three of you. I have one woman that chatted through, and she says, I'm not understanding, is it okay to let a man know that she's interested in him, or what do we do while the hunters are out? Do we just present ourselves by being out and available to see? I'm confused, she said.
That's a very good question. This is the young buck. I believe it's okay for her to go ahead and, say she's interested. Don't be vulnerable. Just don't go for any Joe Blow, ask the Lord to help you with, you know, the spirit of discernment to lay it on his heart, you know, that, you know, if you're the one, to let him know that you're the one. That's what I would do. I would pray for it, you know, and not seek the guy or not say anything after that and just wait to hear from the Lord.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Yeah, I think that if you have some idea or if you connected with a person and you want to let them know, I say absolutely, you can let them know. I believe in that. But I think that the church has a nice setup with singles ministry, as Michael's involved in and in charge of. I think that's a way to connect and bring out. It's very hard today, to, especially for women in that situation, and to reach out to men and to know, you know, it's very hard. It's not an easy thing. I mean, I can only say this. Michael mentioned something about being sold out to ministry, and I know that I became a Picasso of love because in that, when you find the right person, they motivate you, they stimulate you, they inspire you to love and to accomplish more. And in that, I was able to write 18 books, 3 movies, and build houses, churches. So I was inspired. I was inspired by love. And so I think that love inspires you. I think that if you find someone and you, with that person, whatever you were doing, your energy will multiply, the doors will open and fly open because of the favor of God. I just believe that love is the key, is the answer to all that we want to do and do in the Lord. So I say find love. Find love, man. Don't leave this planet without loving. Love, man, and love some more, and then love again.
Okay, so will you just go ahead.
No, I'm good. I got enough.
I just wanted to hear the question one more time, if you don't mind. Beverly,
yes.
Dr. Bev.
They wanted to know if it was okay, you know, to let a man know if they're interested, or how is it that they're, I mean, should they avail themselves by being in out in areas or places where men would be to so that they can be seen? The premise is that with men being hunters, what are we supposed to do as women? To let them know that we're interested, or are we supposed to be out and about in public places where we can be seen? You know, how do we become visible or noticeable to a hunter? Basically, men tell you all the cards.
I know, and that is kind of, I understand what you're saying. And the dynamics in the natural are that there, at least in Sacramento, there's a lot more single women than there are men, so we have an advantage there. And then when you break it down and you go into the church, there's a whole lot more women in the church than there are men. And then you can go down even further. The men that are in the church, a lot of them are not where they can actually lead a woman, or they're not of the makeup of where they could even be in a solid relationship. So it really does make it a little harder on women. And we always say, well, the man's got to chase the woman in there. That is true. That's a biblical principle. But men are not dummies, and a man will know if you're attracted to him just by how you treat him and by making yourself available. We're not dumb. But you had asked a question earlier. I think that women really need to take a look at themselves physically and be honest and say, am I attractive on the outside? But yes, I think it's okay for. I think it's okay. And Tony said there's some aggressive women out there. I've had some women prophesy and tell me that I'm going to be their husband. And you know that's not, every man has a will, so you can't tell somebody that you're going to be my husband or you're going to be my wife. That's wrong.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Mind a woman. I don't mind a woman letting me know that she's attracted to me, but I don't want it to be too aggressive. And, if she's interested and I'm interested, I'm going to know it. But, yes, women do have to make themselves available and attractive. They do, because there is competition out there, and I'll finish that with this. Women, if the men are not hitting on you, or they're not coming at you, they're not asking you out, don't be sorry or feel like you're rejected, because you don't want to be hit on, and it's better to be It's better to spend the rest of your life single than it is to spend the rest of your life with somebody that you're married to and you're still lonely. And so it's protection. Yeah. It's not rejection.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, I like that. It's protection. It's not rejection. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ladies, I know it's at the 8:30 hour, but it's okay. I know you're still sending some questions and are going to go ahead, and if I can, hold on to the gentleman at least another 15 minutes. Is that okay with you guys? Can you stay on with this another 15 minutes?
Another 15 I can do.
Okay.
Vincent, did I lose you?
No, I'm right here. I'm right here.
Alrighty. The next question, gentlemen, is, she says, I've been told that men are intimidated by strong women, and I really want to know the truth. Is that so? Are men really intimidated by strong women?
If I don't mind, guys, I'll just hit this real quick. I don't think you can just say, you can't just ask one guy and get the, you know, it's different for every man. But I can be intimidated by an aggressive or a really strong woman. I would say yes, men can be intimidated by a strong woman. Go ahead, guys.
Yes, this is Vincent. I think that, at least in my case, I would date anyone or get to know anyone from 40 to 65, really. It wouldn't matter to me. I mean, as long as they're taking care of their body and they're, sold out to the Lord. But I'm not intimidated by, you know, if she's the President of the United States, it's just as a, you know, as long as she loves the Lord, I'm just, you know, highly motivated about who I am. So I might come across a little cocky or bold sometimes, but no, a woman doesn't intimidate me.
Okay. What about you, Tony?
All righty then. women can be intimidating. Am I intimidated by a strong woman? Usually not. It's actually I'm a bit attracted to that. And I guess because of the stimulation behind it mentally. However, you have to define what is, aggression, what is a strong woman? You know, is a strong woman someone who's educated, who's heavily into their career, who's very successful? Are you talking about a woman who's gone through or had some issues, and as a result of that, she calls herself a strong woman, and, you know, now it's, you know, she's in charge, she's wearing the pants, quote unquote, so to speak, to define what is a strong woman, I don't think there is a standard. If it is, I haven't heard of one. But, you know, I know that there are women that are career-oriented, that are very educated, and, you know, they have strong personalities. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes the problem may lie in the type of man that they're after as well. It could be a man that is less educated, someone, you know, that they may feel that they can have the power over, so to speak. It just depends on who that woman is and what that personality makeup is all about. I mean, there's a lot of entities within that question,
right,
of strong woman. So, you know, it's pretty broad. Just can't answer it all in one shot there.
Okay, and that's the only thing about questions that come across the chat. You know, you really don't, you cannot always get the full impact of what someone is thinking. But that is a cliche that is often that spoken. You know, it's just that men today are intimidated by women of strength. But you're right. I do believe it does have mitigating circumstances. Is it because they are career-oriented, steadfast, they know who they are and what they want in life, or is it because of baggage, bondage, and brokenness, and they feel that they've had to be strong to survive that? So you're right. I believe that for a question like that, ladies, you really want to do some soul searching and self-defining to find out what the impact of that question is pertaining to oneself first. This is a very important question, gentlemen, and she says, if you find the woman you truly fall in love with telling you how bad her past really was, how will you deal with that? How would that jeopardize the relationship that you have today and your future? Finding out about her past, would it jeopardize the relationship today, gentlemen, or the future?
So you're saying, is that a deal breaker for the relationship to continue with yourself?
Yes, you're such a guy. Yes, such a guy. Is that a deal breaker?
Yeah. Well, for me, it would not be. Would not be a deal breaker for me to know her past and that she had some issues. I just believe God is, I'm just so thankful He cleaned and wiped me up. I can give you my testimony, but that's another show. I've been ministering a lot to a lot of brokenhearted people, and I don't see it at all. My wife, when I touched her and prayed with her, it revealed all her life to me. The Holy Spirit revealed everything. And I just wanted to love her more. I just wanted to take care of her. And it was just a wonderful thing. So, yeah, not a deal breaker for me. I would pray with her. I would ask God to come in and change her and love on her like He loved on me. He's no respecter of people. So, I'm a lover of souls.
Can you please repeat the question?
The question was, here we go. The question was, basically, if you've fallen in love with a woman, here we go. If you found the woman you truly fall in love with and she starts telling you how bad her past really was, how would you deal with that? Basically, would that be a deal breaker in your relationship today and the future?
Absolutely not. That is definitely not a deal breaker. We have to deal with our baggage in the past. It's the only way to move forward. If we're not able to sit down and talk about it and come to grips of what has happened, just so that you as a person is comfortable with the other person, so you're not doing anything to bring back the past because it's familiar. You want to do everything, I want to do everything in my power to comfort her, to love on her, to support her, to even help her through those issues if she hasn't finally come to grip with those issues. And, you know, in a loving, nurturing way, because that's what the relationship is all about, is nurturing one another. So if you can't talk about the past, and especially if you had a really, really, really bad past, and you've almost come to, you know, the decision that, you know, all men are dogs. We've all heard that before. And I don't want nothing to do with a man. I don't want to see a man. It's just me and God. You know, no, all men are not dogs. There are nurturing, loving men that are out there that are willing to listen to what you women have to say, whether it's good or bad, and it is not a deal breaker. Any man that says it's a deal breaker got some serious issues themselves that they need to identify and deal with. deal with those issues head on, and identify whatever the issues are, the problems are, talk about it, solve them, move on, put it in the past, and move on. And, you know, God will bless you. He will bless you to get over those issues. He will bless you to get through those issues, and he will bless you to put those issues behind you.
For me, it would depend upon what she was revealing to me. I would say it wouldn't be a deal breaker, but if I fell in love with her and I found out that she used to be a man, I might have a problem with that. So I guess it depends upon. She killed and buried her last two husbands. I think that might be a deal breaker for me. So, you know, we do all have a past, and it's not attractive. It wouldn't be a good addition. But I don't. If you're in love, you know what? It's all under the blood, and we're going to move forward. And we've all been forgiven as much, and he's forgiven as much, loves much, and forgives others also. That's my take.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Oh, my. Ladies, I'm looking at the clock, and I have kept these gentlemen on the air for 1 hour and 45 minutes without a commercial. I so appreciate each and every one of you for being here with us this evening, for taking the time and answering the questions that are near and dear to the heart of so many women. Ladies, I know I did not get to all of your questions. I may have to do a second show on this. I know we will also be broadcasting a show, switching it around, having a panel guest of women, and so that the men can call in with their questions. But I wanted to once again, before we move further, to ask one of you if you will simply pray over the broadcast and the women that are listening and that will be listening through the archive. That's one thing that I do at every show. We cover it with the blood. And because when we open the hearts of people up, you know, we're opening up and we're experiencing joy, but sometimes we're experiencing pain. And we never, ever leave anyone in pain. So who would be so kind to pray over the broadcast and the ladies? Gentlemen?
Since I'm the oldest.
Go ahead.
Amen, Brad. Amen. Before he starts, Beverly, would it be okay if I have three books I think might help encourage women, and these are books that I'm currently reading right now.
Yes, of course, please.
Okay. The first book is The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. The second book is Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eaglerich. And the third book is His Needs, Her Needs. I don't have the author on that one, but I think those would probably be good
Gary
starter
Polly.
Books for people to read and kind of get a grasp about what it is about love and marriage.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you.
Amen.
Brother Vincent, are you ready to pray over the broadcast?
Yes, I am. I want to thank Brother Tony and Brother Michael, and of course you, Dr. Beverly. And let us just bow our heads and put our mind on the Creator, the lover of our soul. Father, we just love you so. We just thank you for this time, Lord God, that you predestined before the foundation of the world. We come to you, Father God, asking that you forgive us our unrighteousness, our disobedience, even our lack of faith and trust in who you really are, Lord, in our lives. So we just thank you, Father God, for this time of fellowship and love and sharing, and we give you praise and glory for it all. We thank you for our lives, Lord. And Father God, we speak to the lives that are out there, Father God, all the women that have been listening, Father God, and through the power, the anointing of God that's in me, Lord God, I speak healing upon their life, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. You said that, Father God, We can do all things but fail through you, Father God. And so I speak life, Father God, unto their life. I speak bind all those spirits, Father God, of unrighteousness and defeated spirits of not being enough and not being worthy, Father God. Father God, I cast those spirits down to the pit from which they come. Speak life into your daughters, Lord God, that they will know that they're perfect in you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and that they can have what they say. And, Father God, we decree it and believe it, said and done, Father God, that you will bless them with their heart's desires and the man of their dreams, and that you have led their way, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We speak no lack, no doubt, no lack of, Father God, of men that are worthy for your daughters, Lord God. So bless them right now. Bless this show. Continue to bless Dr. Beverly and all that she's doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you the glory for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I receive it all. I acknowledge it all. Ladies, we are coming to the end of the broadcast. I want you to know that, if you remember, that these gentlemen are also professional speakers, motivational speakers. I would like to avail them an opportunity to let you know how you're able to contact them if you would like them to come to your workshops, your conferences, your seminars, your churches, to continue to share the wisdom within them. I'll start first with Vincent Kenneth Lackey. Remember, he is a renowned author and international and motivational speaker. Vincent, would you please let them know how they can contact you to get more information on your books, if you'd like to leave a website, an email, or a phone number, if you'll take that time to avail that information, and if you'll please repeat that twice for them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Beverly. And again, thank you, Michael and Tony. It's been great to share the panel with you both. God bless you both, you and your families. Yes.
Welcome. Thank you. I'll receive it.
Thank you. Vincent Ken Lackey, you can reach me at inshallahink1@yahoo.com. Inshallah, INSHALLAHINC, the number one, at yahoo.com. Inshallah is there a big word that means the will of God. You can also reach me at area code 928-863-9992. Again, that's inshallahinc1@yahoo.com. And my number is 928-863-9992. My website is the Vincent Experience .dix.com/home. That's the Vincent Experience .dix.com/home. And you can order my book, the latest book. It's called The Perfect Marriage, Eat, Drink, and Be Merry. Guarantee on it that it will change your relationship and change your marriage in 30 days or your money back. And I have the Book of Life and several other books that will be a blessing to your ministry as well as to your life. And so please, anytime, text me or email me. I'll be happy to send you my literature and details of my information. Again, God bless you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Vincent. Remember, we have Michael Cook on the line. He is also a professional speaker. And if you want to find out more information on the singles ministry that is building here at Sacramento at Calvary Christian Center, Michael, is there an email address or any contact information that you're able at this time to avail to the ladies?
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Beverly. Thank you, Vincent and Tony. Thank you. It was a privilege to be able to be on here. And I could be reached. My email is M-I-N, M as in mother, I-N as in Nancy, .cookie. That's M-I-N .cookie, C-O-O-K-I-E, the number one, at att.net. You find me at Calvary Christian Center basically all day on Sunday and every Wednesday, basically any time the doors are open at Calvary Christian Center. I'm on Facebook also. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And here we are. We are with the Young Buck of the Line. We are right here with Tony Hall. Tony, we thank you so much. You've offered such insight. And there are so many single ministries that are, that's contacted me about the broadcast, that they're airing it through their ministries. We have, and you, if you're interested and able, if there's something that you would like to avail yourself to be able to be a panelist or to share your insight in speaking at any of those workshops or seminars, is there an email address or a contact information that you would like to leave with them?
Absolutely. I can be reached at t.hall@yahoo.com. t.hall@yahoo.com. And a little bit of one little tidbit I accidentally left out. I am currently writing a book of man, and it deals with everything from hygiene to how to open a car door for a lady to eating dinner with a lady. So I hope to have it completed and out by end of summer.
Wow. Nice. Congratulations. Wow. First, congratulations to each and every one of you. Again, we want to thank the three of you, Tony Hall, Michael Cook, and Vincent Ken Lackey, for your time, for sharing your wisdom, your insights, your input, for sharing your heart with us. I am so humbled by the time that you have taken with the ladies and myself. I'm in the same boat as the rest of them. I'm single. I'm believing that the Lord has a very, very special king just for me. And your answers have been enlightening to all of us. I am wishing each and every one of you the very best that the Lord has for you in every aspect of your life, personally, financially, ministerially. I know he has nothing but the best for you because of your heart for him.
Yeah, so I receive that
too. Amen. Is there one more?
Thank you, Dr. Beverly. Thank you so much.
I just want to say thank you to Michael and Vincent. It's been a pleasure being on the panel with you guys in this this topic of discussion. And once again, thank you, Dr. Beverly, for inviting me to be a part of this panel discussion. And I hope and pray that, you know, we have helped someone.
Yeah.
You have indeed. So as we end the broadcast, remember, ladies, it will air weekly on Tuesday at 7 p.m. The show is immediately available in the archives for you to listen to it. If you want to find out more about what Dr. Beverly is doing, don't forget to check the website. That's www.drbeverlylswanson.com. Now that's drbeverlylswanson.com. You can always reach me at drbeverlylswanson@gmail.com if you have any messages or input that you'd like to share. Or you can reach me on Facebook under Beverly L. Swanson, and you know I love a tweet. You can tweet me at Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now leave off the end. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate each and every one of you, and never forget that I love you more. We'll see you next week. Bye now. Thank you.